This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's go!
Julio, how did you do that?
Swinging.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What did we tell you about this kid, Ellie De La Cruz? It looks like he was created by artificial intelligence.
Yes. 99 speed, 99 power, 6'5".
All of it.
Earlier on the show, Yahoo Sports columnist Dan Wetzel.
Coming up,
Reds play-by-play announcer John Sadak. Baseball Hall of Famer Pedro Martinez.
And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Can confirm it's me. It's hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the air here on the Roku channel, which is free on all Roku devices, select Samsung Smart TV. We are free on Amazon Fire TV. We're also free on the Roku app because the Roku channel is on that. And then you got the RokuChannel.com. It's free on the old internet tubes. We are thrilled to be on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate that is smart enough to have us. And then we're on Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. We say hello to our podcast listening audience, listening to us whenever they darn well please. Maybe just before the first pitch of tonight's All-Star game in Seattle, Washington. Fun home run derby last night. It was just great to see a lot of baseballs leave the yard. I did love the touch of Pete Alonso autographing the baseballs that he was sending into left center and right field.
That's my guy.
Very cool. I thought that was really neat. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. Pedro Martinez is on in hour number three. We'll talk about what he thinks Shohei Ohtani should be doing. Thursday is the 34-year anniversary of him delighting the Fenway faithful and starting the 1999 All-Star game with four strikeouts of the six batters he faced on that night and the win that he amassed in that All-Star game. He's in hour number three. We've been talking a lot about Ellie De La Cruz here pretty much since he started hitting baseballs for the Cincinnati Reds this year. You were on him in your fantasy coming up, right?
Oh, yeah. I stashed him a month out.
And so you were on it.
Yep.
I knew about him in many ways, the way I know about a lot of things in sports. My 12-year-old Cooper was on all over him. And I'm like, let me see what this kid's all about. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then the home run call, the home run that he hit that on June 7th, my anniversary.
Second game.
With Suze, his second game also put the man who's been meeting every moment that Ellie De La Cruz has given us with perfection, John Sadak of the Cincinnati Reds, with this call.
Anticipation to see what...
Oh, goodness! That ball had a family! In game two, his first home run!
Just so much fun stuff from Ellie De La Cruz and the man who's been describing it. So we're thrilled to have here on the Rich Eisen Show after playing all of his greatest hits over the last month. John Sadak, the announcer of the Cincinnati Reds for a third year running. Good to speak with you, John.
Great to be with you, Rich. Thank you for having me.
You bet. I told this story on the air, John. Again, my 12-year-old son. He's been playing me all these highlights for, you know, nonstop. He's on the MLB app and he played that one for me. And he asked me, Dad, what does he mean by that ball had a family? So, you forced me to have a conversation about humor and mortality with my 12-year-old, John. So thank you for that.
That's what we're looking for, the greatest depths as possible as the celebratory antics of the Reds baseball season goes on.
So what has this been like for you? Because obviously this isn't new with Cincinnati having young players be fascinating and fun to watch, but he just stands out. I'm wondering what this has been like from your perspective behind the microphone, John.
It's been incredibly engaging and thrilling. This is my favorite year in baseball by far. But, you know, Rich, I've been personally very fortunate to be right place, right time at a lot of places over the years. I did women's basketball at the University of Delaware when Elena Deladon played there, and she dropped 54 in a game against James Madison, went on to become a gold medal winner and the WNBA MVP. My Division III alma mater snapped the longest win streak in college football history, beating their nemesis to go to a championship. UConn's run that came to a close in the Final Four. I covered Aaron Judge during his rise with the Yankees in AAA. I've been really, really fortunate to be around greatness and to be able to watch it and describe it. Mm-hmm. And Ellie is such a unique talent because he does everything. He has not just the physical tools, but the awareness of how to best utilize those tools and that dramatic flair of showmanship that just makes him so engaging.
And I just, you know, your calls have just been so filled with excitement and joy of you meeting the moment. And, you know, the moment that he got that cycle, John, and then the pictures of the broadcast, you know, the broadcast team that you work with showing this like little girl. She must have been like 14 or 13 or 15, who knows, 12, just jumping up and down with excitement, just seeing the folks in the stands respond to his achievements so quickly, and the joy that it has brought is, I love seeing it, man. I just love watching it. It's just been so much fun.
Yeah, it's contagious. You know, I've described it on the air like this a few times, and I sincerely mean it. Reds baseball has become like a rock concert. It has become like the NCAA tournament. The hair stands up on your arms. You get goosebumps. There's a contagious energy that is indescribable. And his single effect, now this is a deep team with a lot of good young talent, but his single effect is so significant in how it's moved the needle among the fan base. They went from 19,000 fans a game pre-Ellie and the worst single game attendance in the 20-year history of the ballpark, coming off a 100-loss season, to over 30,000 fans a game and the best three-game draw in the 20-year history of the stadium almost overnight.
Was that the Braves series, John, that you're referring to?
It was. Uh-huh. Yeah, and that was the zenith moment was, you know, that was their lone win. They lost the other two games. They were one-run games. They were thrilling. But that was the win, and that was kind of the formal they had arrived moment. That was their 12th straight win. It was a top-five win streak in team history. You have to go back to the 50s, the last time they had a surge like that. And they had the longest drought of a cycle in baseball. And the last man to achieve it was Eric Davis, who is a longtime mentor and inspiration to Ellie. He's the reason why he wears 44 for the Reds.
I did not know that. John Sadak here on the Rich Eisen Show. So walk me through who Ellie is and walk people through what you've learned about this young man so far, John.
The youngest of nine kids, taken away from his family by family choice at age six, to focus on baseball. His hometown in the Dominican just did not have facilities or coaching to be able to actualize his talent. By later in his childhood, he moved an hour away from his family to be in the capital, and all along the way was often overlooked, was an also-ran. The fulcrum moment for him came when there was another shortstop that was nicknamed Lindor because he was viewed as so skilled and so beloved. And he was asked to try out along with this other young man, essentially to make the other kid look good. He was supposed to be, you know, the sparring partner for this workout. And he instead caught the eye of the Reds, who inked him for $65,000. He is a very soft-spoken blue-collar young man. You know, he wears the chains. He has the dread extensions. He does play with a lot of flair. But that's just him having fun. There's no showing up of anybody. He is a super hard worker. He looks at the game in a very intelligent way. Some of my favorite moments, Rich, have come when our cameras are able to spy him alongside Joey Votto and that generational conjoining as they're looking at an iPad of each man's respective at bat and talking through what happened.
So basically you're saying when he was trying out, he was supposed to be the Washington Generals for this shortstop nicknamed Lindor, and he turns out to be the Harlem Globetrotters for the Cincinnati Reds, pretty much in that moment.
Exactly it.
And he's got the emotional intelligence to seek out people like Votto and Eric Davis. That's what's happening. That's how he's being formed as a professional right now, John?
Yeah, and make no mistake, he knows he's good, and yeah, he wants to maximize his ability. He's had quotes along his rise saying that, you know, he wants to be the best player at each level, and The crazy thing is, look at his stats. Like, he was in the complex league, the lowest level of stateside baseball, 2 years ago in 2021. He wasn't there long, but he was to go 2 years from that to what he's achieved. And I can argue, you look at his numbers, he's gotten better at each level he's moved up.
I just love the way he plays the game, too, John Sadak, the voice of the Cincinnati Reds here on the Rich Eisen Show. And you know, how he stole for the cycle in two pitches the other day against Milwaukee, and how he reached third. And, you know, he had the gumption to obviously steal second and third with two outs after, by the way, providing the lead with a two-out base hit to get on. And then... has the temerity to steal home, but also the smartness to realize what's going on, but to also have that sort of kid mentality, go, damn right I'm stealing home. I'm taking it. I'm going. And I loved it. I loved the reaction in the dugout. I loved all of it. It's awesome, man. It's so infectious to watch. It's great.
The really cool layering to that, Rich, is that third base coach J.R. House, who does an excellent job, and he's been one of the strong advocates for the entire team approach of being far more aggressive on the bases. Big reason why the Reds have achieved what they have to this point. He kind of pulled the curtain back after the game and said he went to go high-five Ellie after he stole third, and Ellie wanted no part of it. He looked away from him, and he thought, well, that's kind of weird. What's going on? And he also confessed that over the course of the year, he would notice every time Ellie went to third base, he would change that oven mitt that says absolutely ridiculous and an ice cream font on it to his other hand. And he asked him, why do you do that? He's like, well, so when I steal home, I want to use my other hand to go into the foul side of the plate. Like, he's been thinking that all year. He's always thinking steal home.
We're showing that photograph right now of him taking it too. I know, and it looks like he's flying. It looks like he's Superman. It's so incredible, and obviously he's young, and he's taking things by storm right now. What, dare we ask, can he improve? What are his areas of improvement, John?
You know, the ludicrous element to all of this, and I've said this on and off air to my partners, to our production crew, to coaches.
Yeah,
we haven't seen him get hot yet. Like, he hasn't gotten hot. He's had great games. He's had great series. I mean, he was hitting 500 on the road trip going into that finale.
Right.
I don't think we've seen him hot. Like, I think he could have, like, two inside-the-park homers in a game. He still gets pitched backwards a lot. He sees the highest rate of breaking balls in all of baseball of men who have as many at-bats as he does. He sees the lowest rate of fastballs of anyone in baseball. I think we'll see him. He's already made adjustments. I think we'll see him adjust to the quality delivered for strike off speed that is not as present in the minor leagues. That's part of the learning curve. And Rich, he's learning, and he's hitting 325. He's learning, and he's like winning games single-handedly at times.
Well, I'm looking here. I'm seeing when you go to Atlanta in the second half. I don't know if you do. I'm looking right now, which is too bad. Because I would love to see him run against the freeze, you know? Like, that's the last thing I want to see him do, you know? I want him to basically during mid-inning run out to a left field pole and beat the freeze. I think he could, right? I think he could.
I think he could, too. And unfortunately, we were there in the infancy of the season. That was the opening road trip, and he was still in AAA at that point. And the other crazy element to this, Rich, is you talk to his teammates, because there are a lot of rookies on this team and young players that were teammates with him for long stretches in the minors. And Andrew Abbott has said this several times, who's having a phenomenal rookie year, the lefty from Virginia, who's kind of become the de facto ace in the wake of some injuries. He said the ball had a family home run that nearly left the stadium.
Yes.
He said that's not a top five homer he's hit this year. I mean, you can find a lot of these highlights on Twitter and on YouTube of what he achieved at AAA. He said that of all the moments that have occurred, we're still seeing the scratching of the surface of the truly otherworldly amazing play. And I can't wait to watch this young man's career unfold.
And then, but the second half of the season, though, John, I mean, this team's got playoff potential written all over it, and a run, too, right? I mean, like, I imagine that is being discussed in that clubhouse right now, correct?
They're running a turn of phrases, why not us? It's something they have said from the beginning.
Right.
And, you know, there have been a ton of doubters, and fairly so. They lost 100 games last year. You know, a lot of the needle-moving players were in the minors. You know, we did a full-page graphic the other day about where the Reds in the lineup this last series in Milwaukee were a calendar year earlier. And, you know, many of them are either in the minors, injured, some of them at very low levels in the minor leagues or in other organizations. And what this team has done in a compressed span of time is just it's fantastical. It's the ultimate American kind of story to go from underdog to top dog in what's emerged essentially is a two-team race. And they're going to get the Brewers again out of the break, and then they'll see them again in Milwaukee just a week and a half later. And, you know, those head-to-head games will have major say along with, you know, the rest of this long homestand out of the break. They get the Giants, a good team. They get the Diamondbacks, another great young team that plays like Cincinnati. But yes, they're very much in the playoff chase, and most are curious how or if they're going to add particularly to pitching as the trade deadline approaches.
So rank it for me right now, John Sadak. It's Burrow 1. What is it, still Votto 2 in that town right now, or Ellie De La Cruz, or what we got? Or Burrow's not number 1. What do you got for me right now in Cincinnati?
I think it's, you know, the success of Cincinnati, of the Bengals, I should say.
Yes.
Joe Burrow has definitely grabbed the hearts of the city in a convincing way. And
yes,
as he should. I mean, he is Joe Cool. And they have become a premier destination for people in the greater Cincinnati area.
Yes.
But I think Joey Votto has a loyalty from a large majority of the fan base. He is so beloved because he spent his whole career there. And
yep,
and part of it is because the team was so bad during a chunk of that time.
Right.
And he still performed at a very high level. And now, you know, he leads the team in OPS and slugging. He's 39. He's
awesome.
Killing it. I think the city loves the story and loves him.
Well, and again, you are meeting the moment, John. I'm enjoying your calls immensely. So keep on having a blast. Really, you're making it fun for me and everybody who's watching the fun unfold in Cincinnati.
Well, thank you kindly. And if I may share with you, I want to say thank you to you.
Okay.
When I wanted to do this, when I wanted to work in this industry, my original aspiration was inspired by you and your peers to be a SportsCenter anchor.
Huh.
And it was I was a senior in the class of 96 growing up in New Jersey from greater New York. And all of your email addresses at the time were public on my dial-up AOL connection. And I wrote you and a number of the other anchors, and almost all of you, including you, wrote back.
Is that
and
right?
And you shared your story. Yes.
Really? Okay.
And that was a huge help to me to kind of get a picture of the diversity of the paths. And I love sports. I love sports. I may love sports media even more, and getting to talk to people like you is even more of a pinch-me moment, and I'll never forget that, and I'm deeply appreciative of that.
Wow, John, I appreciate that. I appreciate you sharing that as well, and it's kind of an honor for me to receive an email from you back in that day and not even know what it might have impacted or that you even received it. And now here we are all this time later chit-chatting about a major sports baseball story going on and you crushing it. I'm thrilled. I couldn't be happier for you, and I appreciate you sharing. That's pretty cool. Thanks.
You got it. Life is great. Keep kicking butt, man.
All right. We'll see you here in Los Angeles. I mean, I definitely want to go to those games.
I'm going.
That's for sure. Thank you for the call, John. Appreciate it.
You got it.
That's John Sadak.
We'd love to have you.
Okay, sounds good.
Hey.
Okay, very good. John Sadak right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah, end of July, Reds at Dodgers. Friday night, Saturday night, and a Sunday day game.
110.
Let's go.
Why wouldn't
they flex that to ESPN
Sunday
night? Can
ESPN flex Sunday night games? I mean, I know you don't talk about it, but that's what we should do.
They should.
Reds-Dodgers, because put up the standings again one more time. Remarkable what Ellie De La Cruz did the other day, because he stole second, third, and he gets on first with a two-out base hit to knock in the go-ahead run in the eighth inning, okay, and then steals second, third, and home to provide the insurance run on just two pitches against the team that's chasing them, just a half game behind them. And if you're not in first in the Central, you're not in the wild card at present.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the difference between playoff positioning where you're in and when you're chasing. And so he did it against the team that they're battling in that division.
Yeah, on the road at Milwaukee.
Dude.
Tough. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's these are crucial sequences.
And also what John said, that wasn't just like a random thing. He is looking to take home.
I love that.
Yeah.
That switches he wore mitt. The mitt on his left hand because if I'm stealing home, I want to slide in on the first base side. I want to slide in with my left hand. I don't want to reach from foul territory in. I want to slide in.
That's insanely like observational from a guy so young.
He's 21.
21. He's born in 2002.
And I love that photograph. Baseball put it up on their Twitter account.
Yeah, photograph of the year.
It
MLB.
Is from
all the way up top.
From down.
Oh, it's incredible.
That was like
he's still home.
Did you see the Russell Westbrook post?
And
picture,
you can see the
Chris?
Ball in the picture too, next to the umpire.
Yeah, this looks like something like if it was in black and white, something from like the 1950s. Except nobody looked like Ellie De La Cruz in the 1950s. No. You know what I mean?
Chris, did you see that Westbrook picture where he took a charge and the camera was above like those types of...
Well, the NBA does a great job with those types of shots. They have the camera, you know,
correct.
Above the rim.
Right.
And now seeing Major League Baseball
well
do
done.
It,
I love
this
it.
Is the moment why you do it.
Yeah, that's
how
a
about
great
us
pitch.
Having a whole conversation about one team and one player in Major League Baseball? It's not about the rules, not about this, not about that.
Well, it's fun. It's just the emotion that he plays with. It's fun. That's why...
It's infectious.
That's why you play the game.
And John Sadak... How about that? Glad it didn't blow off his email years ago.
Can you imagine?
And John said Ellie had dread extensions. Like, so is he saying his locks aren't real? Like, I'm concerned about that. Or
yeah, I mean, TJ, as a dreads guy.
A lock
well,
a
you're the
college.
Only one on this show that can talk about hair pretty much. Because you got two guys who don't and one guy who's dying is.
Yeah, it's true.
But it's still all his, though.
Still that's my
true.
Hair.
It's not the hair color.
Hair.
You're one step away from
right?
Because the bottom line is, because that's the thing also, that's the Seinfeld line, you know, you're bald. No, I was bald.
I was gray.
Yeah.
I was bald.
It's like Kill Bill 2, where the one guy was like, by the way, I'm not bald.
That's the whole thing. Like any politician that wears a toupee or has a fake hair, how can I trust you as a politician?
Maybe their head gets cold.
How can I trust you as a politician? You can't even be straight up about your hairline. That's a bald brotherhood way of talking politics.
Right.
You understand?
I like where you're going with that.
You're
going
to go through
that's
with
what
Deion.
I told Deion. I know. Deion's like, you know.
You're going to go through with that
the,
one day and now you're going to feel bad.
He's the comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
That's what he calls himself with his new hair.
It's going to. I told you one day I had a dream you did that, right?
I told him and Urlacher you left us on the battlefield.
What's that? Was that instinct? Like what? You were just like, "What's that?"
That goes. That's in the top
you mentioned
five.
WhatsApp.
Oh, you said WhatsApp,
right?
And I just said WhatsApp.
That's easily in the top five.
We'll
jobs.
Yeah, instinct.
We'll take a break.
It's the top five.
844-204 Rich number now. Pedro is going to be joining us.
Are you currently enjoying the show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
You know, just watching the old Century team, to me, was great.
It was unbelievable.
I remember Hank Aaron coming over and wanting to shake my hand. And to me, that was like, oh, my God, this is it. But it got even better because after the game, I knew what I could do. I was facing those guys during that era. Mm-hmm. What I was able to do and have Ted Williams come, bring me over to his suite where he was, actually... There's a little video, I don't know where it is, the Red Sox have it, where he says, you one hell of a pitcher. And he shook my hand and he signed the program. And that was pretty much my trophy. That capped it up. just being part of the most unique All-Star game that I can think of, have the All-Century players, something we might not see in this lifetime, is probably the most amazing gift I could ever get in an All-Star game. Forget about the strikeouts, forget about the performance. An All-Star game like that deserves that and probably even better.
Because I just remember that after the All-Century team had been announced and then the players had been announced, I'm assuming you're warming up in the bullpen? Is that where you were at the time?
It was just about. It was always delayed. Remember how everybody mopped over?
Well, that was it.
I was already walking to the bullpen, but okay. It was so delayed because everybody wanted to hug Ted Williams that I had to actually hold myself from pitching, something I did not like. And if it was in a regular game, I'd be pissed. I'd be really angry at everybody, TV and everybody. But
right.
It was the All-Century team. It was dedicated to Ted Williams. To me, it was an honor to just be part of anything that happened that day.
That was an incredible night. The 34th anniversary of that night is coming up on Thursday. Pedro's coming up in about a half an hour right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Pedro Martinez in about a half an hour. The 34-year anniversary of one of the greatest moments in the history of the All-Star Game is today. It was 34 years ago, number 34 of Auburn University football and number 34 of Oakland Raiders football, or Los Angeles Raiders football, actually.
LA Raiders at that point, yeah.
Appeared in a Major League Baseball All-Star game. It was the night Bo Jackson stepped in the batter's box of an All-Star game in his first at-bat. Only All-Star game appearance of Bo Jackson's career.
Was it Ronald Reagan in the booth?
Yep, with Vin Scully. And we have the call on the 34-year anniversary of this moment.
But that Bo down there, that's a pretty interesting hobby he has for his vacation. When baseball ends, he winds up playing football. I don't know if there's ever been anyone doing it.
Hey. He's remarkable, and look at that one. Bo Jackson says hello.
Just the sound of the...
And then that photograph of him...
off the bat.
Greeting Wade Boggs, Benito Santiago behind home plate.
Wow.
Nothing in the... You know, we just talked to John Sadak about Ellie De La Cruz... currently at the Reds, and nothing quite is great in sports than meeting the moment when you're expecting it. Just a few times, just off the top of my head, right? The kickoff of the Super Bowl between the Bears and the Colts, and Devin Hester receiving it, and you're like, okay, they're not going to kick to him, and if they do, he's not returning it for a touchdown. Then he does. I'm like, well, what? Oh, gosh. Meeting the moment. Bo Jackson steps to the plate. He's not going to homer, right? Okay. Ronald Reagan's in the booth with Vince Scully. Just chit-chatting about, yeah, it's a heck of a career he's having. I don't think we've ever seen somebody play football as well. See ya. Out the door. Out the gate.
Yeah.
See you later. Homers. I get goosebumps talking about him. And another moment, like we're talking, again, where you're meeting the moment. And it's so tough to do. Honestly, because we're expecting it. We want it as fans.
So badly.
And so the athlete must know it too, right? Must want it as well. Jimmy Connors, Serena, keep naming people who have had big moments in tennis tournaments, majors, golf, right? Tiger.
Every Tiger.
We're one, Tiger. We need that comeback. We need you to win that jacket. And he does. I mean, GOATs who do this and Hall of Famers who do it, or People make the Hall of Fame because they do it. They can do it. Reggie hitting that third home run. He talked about that the other day when he was here on this program. He's like, yeah, I wanted
to hit
it.
Yeah, I was trying to hit a homer.
I was trying to hit a homer. And he does it. My God, he does it. First guy since Babe Ruth to homer three times in a World Series game. And he does it in a Yankee uniform to wrap up the World Series. That's what I wanted when I was watching it as an eight-year-old kid. It's so tough to do. Kobe in his final game. Come on. Right?
Yeah.
His final game.
Home game. Everyone knows. Hey, is he gonna try to score a lot? Yeah, he's gonna try to score. He gets 60.
60!
It's awesome.
We want to see it. We get it.
Yeah.
It's they stand out. And Pedro coming on. The 1999 All-Star Game in Fenway Park. I talk about this with him all the time. We just showed on our Roku-only segment for our radio audience an appearance he made when we were in D.C. for the All-Star Game in 2018. And so he knows what's coming when he comes on the show, certainly on an All-Star Game day, is we're going to talk about this again because in Fenway Park in 1999, 34 years ago Thursday, he is the starting pitcher of the All-Star Game, the last one of the 20th century, and baseball has Kevin Costner MC a moment before the game. The All-Century team is announced, and they come strolling out of the garage in center field like it's the corn in Iowa. I'm serious. And Costner's standing on the mound, and he is emceeing the announcement of these players standing from first to second and second to third, and then the Major League Baseball All-Stars playing in that game lined up from home plate to the corner bases. And it's a true constellation of current greats and all-time greats. And some of the current greats are all-time greats. Ripken, Gwynn, Griffey, just to name three off the top of my head. Okay? And it's unbelievable. The energy in the building is through the roof when Ted Williams throws out the first pitch. Tony Gwynn helping him steady himself. I believe Griffey was the other one. With Stan Musial's out there. I mean, get the hell out of here of what we saw that night.
Yeah.
Okay, and the place is electric because I believe Williams threw the first pitch to Carlton Fisk. I was standing behind home plate as the announcer of the coverage on ESPN Radio. I mean, talk about a front row seat. Insane. And Ted Williams wearing a hitter.net hat, by the way. You thank his son for that, I believe. And so, place is insane. It's going nuts. And Pedro takes the mound. And he strikes out the first three batters, named Barry Larkin, Larry Walker, and Sammy Sosa.
They were all pretty good.
Okay. Two of them make the Hall of Fame. Sosa, as we all know, the reason why he's not in. And then the Red Sox fans watch the American League take the lead in the first inning. So that's what happens. Pedro delivers what everybody was hoping to see.
Yep.
Three strikeouts, strikes out the side. And then they score two in the bottom of the first. Interestingly enough, if I may just inject, off of Curt Schilling, a Philadelphia Phillies starter for the National League that night. And one of the runs that got knocked in was Manny Ramirez as an Indian at the time. It was Lofton and Ramirez, and Jim Thome knocked in Lofton. It was like a Cleveland Indians moment. Ripken knocked in Ramirez to give a two-run lead to Pedro, who steps out on the mound for the second inning, strikes out McGuire. Matt Williams
reaches on an error.
And then Jeff Bagwell, future Hall of Famer, strikes out. Williams tries to take second, and future Hall of Famer Pudge Rodriguez throws him out, strike him out, throw him out.
Unreal.
Place goes nuts. Honestly, could have ended the game there. Game was over because Pedro didn't come. Like, will he come out for a third inning? Like, can we see him strike out three more? I was sitting there saying, can we please see him just retire the entire National League batting order?
He would have done it
in
too,
one 3-inning stint. 9 up, 9 down, and, you know.
I mean, I'm watching it right
now.
They
took him out.
What's wild is Pedro is throwing.
Torrey took him out.
Absolute gas.
Unbelievable.
And it's only 97. You think about, you know, guys throwing gas today, it's 101, 102.
Right. Nothing in sports is
awesome.
The meeting the moment. Obviously, the only thing that surpasses Hall of Famers like this meeting the moment is individuals who are in making their first opportunity, getting their first opportunity, going from nobody knowing, like the Rocky story, Buster Douglas type stuff. You know what I mean? That's maybe the only thing that surpasses this is just like we don't expect it. And then somebody turns their life around with one performance, which is what sports can do. I just wanted to mention that in advance of Pedro joining. I'll never forget it that night. Ever. And, you know, you take a look at the lineups of those 99 All-Stars.
Cool.
Got them right here. I mean, Larkin, Walker, Sosa, McGuire, Williams, Bagwell. Had Pedro come out, the next guy faced was Piazza from the Mets. Jeremy Burnett was in the All-Star game.
As a starter.
Jay Bell was the second baseman. The American League All-Stars. Lofton Nomar got the start over Jeter. Don't get me started. It's Boston. I get it.
Nomar.
Everybody was punching the hanging chads. Stop it. Stop it. I know Nomar was good when in his day, but
really?
Okay.
He hit 370, bro.
Ken Griffey Jr., Manny Ramirez, Jim Thome, Cal Ripken Jr., Rafael Palmeiro, Pudge Rodriguez, Roberto Alomar hit ninth that night. On the bench, Tony Fernandez, Jeter, Omar Vizquel. How about Jose Canseco is on the bench? Bernie Williams, Harold Baines. I mean, Hall of Famers.
Wow.
Mike Messina, Rivera in the pen. Troy Percival in the pen.
Canseco on Tampa that year.
And the all-star on the bench for the National League, Jeff Kent.
Tony Gwynn, Vladdy, Sheffield.
Yeah. Come on. You know, Vladdy, right. How about this? Sean Casey, your current Yankee hitting coach, was on the bench there. Bruce Bochy's the manager. Torrey's the manager. And again, so tonight, you know, these all-stars, you got some heavy lifting to do here. I mean, how many Hall of Famers do you think are in the lineup tonight?
You know, Rich, that's a great question. We were talking about that.
I mean, because, and again, I know when I mention names like Palmeiro, you know.
I mean, he's got the 503,000.
Yeah, I get it, you know, and I mention other people who have been suspected. It's a different time, different era.
Yeah.
And I know that there's a lot of asterisks for a lot of people here, but by the way, Randy Johnson was in the bullpen. Lima time. I loved him.
Lima time. Believe it.
I loved Jose Lima. God, did I love him.
I mean, if you're looking at the
Brian Jordan
tonight.
Speaking of a two-way player.
You know, projecting if guys could be Hall of Famers. I mean, I think Mike Trout and Ohtani will probably make it. Aaron Judge is on a nice trajectory.
You get him healthy again.
Randy Arozarena, if he stays on.
Really? You're going to mention him as a Hall of Famer?
It's not a pretty good pace so far. I mean, I know he's like 3 years into his career, but he's got a Rookie of the Year. Corey Seager.
Keep going.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Jose Ramirez, Luis Robert.
Lou Bob.
Julio Rodriguez, Yordan.
You think these are Hall of Fame potential
players? I'm talking
players.
About guys like maybe in a decade we're thinking about, okay, they're
approaching. These guys were established, though, when they were playing. These guys were just, you knew it when in the game. You're like, okay.
Well, this is also a new era in Major League Baseball where we have a lot of young,
Ken Griffey Jr.,
dynamic talent in Major League Baseball right now. It's a really young game at the moment.
Right.
Aside from a handful of, you know, kind of aging pitchers. I don't know, man. Gerrit Cole's on his way.
Shane McClanahan, if he stays, you know, we're obviously 3-4 years, 5 years in for a lot of these guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Mike Trout's probably the only guy you can say with 100% certainty.
You didn't mention
Ronald Acuna, absolutely. Ozzie Albies. I think right now, if you're talking about one guy who's in, it's Mike Trout, and then everyone else is just kind of, you're on your way.
By the way, Pedro, when he took the mound that night on the All-Star game, he had 182 strikeouts on the season already. I looked it up.
He had 15 wins.
A current strikeout leader in a sport where people just, they don't care.
It's Strider.
It's Strider with 166. Okay. So he's not, I mean.
But nobody's close to 15 wins. Pedro was 15-3 at the break that year.
He was insane. And just a little bit of a guy. Honestly, you look at him and you're like, okay, really?
Yeah, 5'10", 5'11", buck 60.
Oh, my God. Allen Iverson
type body.
Unbelievable. That place. Honestly, when he came out of the game, they could have stopped it. It was over. That game was over. It was over. Let me see. Who even came in?
I think Mookie.
Who was the guy after
Mookie
the guy?
And Freddie Freeman will be Hall of Famers, probably.
Hold on. Here we go. Who? Let me get the box score here. Who did Torrey put in after?
Oh, I got it. David Cone.
Damn, we got to speak to Cone.
And he gave up 4 hits and a run immediately.
He put in Cone. I got to talk to Cone.
Hey, John Wetland got the save.
It was tight. But isn't that great? Like, how you take the mound. You're a Yankee taking the mound in Fenway Park after Pedro did that. Boo. Get out of the game. And he gives up a run. I forgot about that.
When was Cone's perfect game? Was it 98 or 99?
I don't know.
Because it would have been either, you know, shortly thereafter.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
Pretty good.
Hey, David, what was it like when you took the mound after Pedro did what he did in Fenway Park? We're going to take the air out of the stadium, David. By the way, July of 99. Which date in July? Was it before or 18th? Just after, like a couple days later? Probably next appearance was his perfect game.
That's
Cone.
That's unreal.
He got out of his system.
That's unreal.
Oh, gosh. Fun stuff. We'll take a break. Pedro, top of the hour right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. This is a fun time. Back here on the program, everybody. Fun little memory lane stuff.
I love it.
Right here.
Obviously, Mookie and Freddie Freeman are Hall of Famers, too.
Oh, yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
They are. That's about it, right?
That's about it. That you can say for sure.
Who are the Red Sox playing tonight?
Kenley Jansen made it.
Oh, he did?
Okay. He was our only rep, which is kind of BS. Like Yoshida and Verdugo.
Well, Verdugo's had a really good year.
Those guys kind of got hosed. Would have been nice to see both those guys
get had a good year. I honestly have not paid as strict enough. Is Devers not raking or what?
He is. His batting average is about 240. He's not really hitting that well.
Oh, it's because he's only played the Yankees 6 times.
Right.
This point in time, he'd probably be playing about 9. His batting average would be up around 400 if he played. How do the Yankees not know how to pitch this guy?
Ever since he was 18.
They don't know how to pitch him. They don't know how to pitch Bregman. They don't know how to pitch Altuve. Yeah. Like, it is as the day starts in the morning and ends at night, it is as death and taxes as anything else that the Yankees do not know how to pitch these guys consistently.
Ew.
What the hell?
I just gotta say this. I find this interesting.
And Mookie Betts, too, when the Yankees played him against the Dodgers, it was like the good times rolled again.
Chris,
the hell?
You're very hard on like NFL's players making the Hall of Fame, and it just seemed like everyone you listed, you're throwing a lot of guys in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Because the Baseball Hall of Fame's tougher to get into.
Well, it's much tougher.
Trajectory. We're talking about a lot of guys who are only 5 years into their career.
I'm just saying, though. Man.
But you don't think Mike Trout? You would agree that
Trout's
Betts,
obvious. I don't know if Freddie Freeman a guaranteed Hall of Famer.
Oh, he's going to finish with almost 3,000 hits.
Yeah, I think you could sit here and say one day. Yeah, I think you could.
Also,
say
Devers got screwed. He has 20 bombs. And
Freddie Freeman
RBI.
Has 2,000 hits, and he's in his 13th season.
I mean, plays 5 more years, he'll be at 2,800.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. So, you know what? Can somebody make a video of Victor Wembanyama's 2023 Summer League?
2 games and done.
Well, it's more than 2 games, Chris. Let's not forget about the first
moment of his NBA career.
Do we have to pay TMZ for the video rights? How's that work?
Strolling into catch.
He caught something, all right.
Caught some Britney strings.
Guy's just looking for a piece of fish.
That's it.
I've never been there. What do you order at Catch? Is it all seafood?
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Have you never been to Catch here in Los Angeles?
I have not.
Neither have I.
Let me just tell you something.
It's seafood, yeah?
No.
You're seeing a lot at Catch.
Oh, I understand.
Dude.
Joe Rogan, I understand.
If you go to Catch in Los Angeles.
You're going
to
see a bunch of
things.
There's a head and it's on a swivel.
I understand. Yeah.
And you got to be careful.
Right.
It's like Seinfeld. You gotta glance and look away.
Right. I don't know, like, Rich, because
glance and look away.
The person you're with, there's probably things there that might make them want to like put their head on the swivel too.
I'm not just saying it's a me thing.
No, I'm just saying like you might not have to worry about like that because the person you're with might be looking the other way.
It's another reason we send Wemby home. Like, there's no Catch in San Antonio. I'm sure there's a catch-like place in San Antonio.
Probably.
What did Wendy say he likes to eat?
You can get fish in San Antonio.
Truffles.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he likes truffles.
They're
he
done.
Likes truffles.
He's done.
The river.
So he went from, I guess, draft sensation to paparazzi superstar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
To
bust.
Complete bust.
Complete bust.
To
superstar.
Number one Team's overall good. Pick, superstar,
Hall of Fame.
Sensation.
Hall of Famer.
Defensive
years.
Player of the Year candidate, 2023 at least. And a must-see NBA in-season tournament player. And and that was, I mean, he ran the gamut in Vegas.
Did we put him in the Hall of Fame yet? It's easy to make the Basketball Hall of Fame.
My gosh, they let like 15 people in.
It's pretty easy.
Every year.
Yeah.
Everybody gets in that one.
I know. And everybody who gets in, they're like, they haven't gotten in yet.
Right.
That's the leader of, I can't believe that person's not in yet.
And you can coach, be an active coach, and be in the Hall of Fame. Like, Pop
care.
Is in.
Why do they care?
Still coaching.
We don't care. Man. Put them all in. Victor Wembanyama. What a whirlwind. What happened in Vegas?
And he can't legally gamble while in Vegas. So he wasn't playing the tables after.
You know what? And that's one of those things you can't sneak in with a fake ID because you're 7'5". They know who you are. Even Britney Spears knows who you are. Do we know what her purpose was?
She was a fan. She likes him, which I find weird.
Wait a minute.
Britney Spears know who Crown Vic is.
Wait.
But
what was her purpose? Is it like my kid loves you? Or I don't mean to denigrate. Like, she could be a diehard NBA.
Maybe it was to warn him about the trappings of a young celebrity.
I don't think it was a warning tap.
Warning. Like, hey, this happened to me.
No, she went running.
No.
Like, she wasn't. Yeah. I don't think that was a rope showing gambit.
She apparently is a fan, which who knew?
That's awesome. I mean, she's got young boy. I mean, probably teenage boys.
Why not?
Right?
Hey, I don't know. I don't keep track. That's why I need a video. Jimmy in San Antonio.
Jimmy,
how's this all landing there? Jimmy?
¿Qué pasó, hermano?
What's going on?
Hey.
How's it all landing there?
Y'all are the reason I drink in the afternoon, setting me up like that. I heard what you were doing. Picking on Wemby.
I'm not picking.
What?
I'm not picking.
Not picking.
We're fans here.
I know.
Okay.
I'm not picking on him.
So
man wanted a piece
right
of fish.
Now,
we're big fans of Vic.
No Spurs fans are upset that they pulled him and cut it.
Of course.
We saw enough.
That's it.
The NBA knows what's coming.
Yeah, check
now
out French Yahoo.
How to play.
Check out French YouTube if you're curious.
He's got to learn how to play NBA ball. That was the most obvious thing that I saw. He can't dribble in the middle. They'll collapse and steal the ball. But I'm also excited about tomorrow night. USA versus Panama for the big soccer World Cup.
Hey, now you know Del Tufo's not paying attention that he doesn't say anything right now. What are you texting? You texting somebody right
no,
now?
I was about checking an email about something.
Of course.
So a couple of my buddies flew out. They went to the second game, so they got to see him play well. And then they were going out to gamble, went downtown to Binion's.
Binion's Horseshoe.
There we go. Yeah, a little Doyle Brunson. Why not?
Diaw walked in, and out of nowhere, Selena Gomez kicked Bobo in the ding-ding.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Jimmy, that's the end of the hour. What a great way to end hour two.
You get the show.
Very good.
You just cut him off.
Yeah, he's, yeah, he's got 10 seconds left in the hour.
All right,
and
fair
Pedro Martinez is coming up.
I know a little bit.
No offense. It's just what's called a hard out.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's what Brittany ran into with security.
A hard out.
Yeah, that was a hard out.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
She hit herself. This is insane.
You know, the crazy thing is, right? That's I didn't crazy, realize man. That until you guys told me yesterday.
Yes.
So
yeah.
then I
She was contacted.
And her hand was up. And the guy on YouTube was like, you guys are crazy saying she hit herself. I'm like, no, bro, look at the video.
Actually, the Vegas Police Department. Yeah, confirmed.
By local authorities.
Yeah. So, hey, YouTube
by
guy.
By the way, what's worse than hitting yourself is having it confirmed by local authorities that you did. Not much worse.
Nothing worse.
Well, I mean, you know, sometimes you do hit yourself. Could you imagine if you did that here and it's like El Segundo Police confirms in a statement.
That Mike Crespo hit himself
in the face.
While it catch.
It's like that thing
that
you do.
Never been to. I'm telling you.
It's like that thing you do with your siblings when you're little. You take their hand
and you whack them. Stop hitting yourself.
Yeah. No, stop hitting yourself. Yeah.
Stop hitting yourself.
Stop hitting yourself. I know. Imagine the police confirms that.
All right, so she did it again.
Pedro in 99, his 18 starts before the break. He had a decision in everything. He was 15-3, didn't throw fewer than 6 innings. All but 2 of the starts, he did 7 innings.
There was no analytics. You know,
his 99 season is just
insane.
Stupid.
Did he win Cy Young that year?
He had to.
Was he Cy Young of 99?
Should have won MVP probably too.
We'll see. I don't know. I mean, the Yankees won the World Series that year, I know, because they won, you know, several in a row.
Cy Young in 99, he was second in MVP.
There you go.
To Pudge.
And he is joining us next, right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Collision has been struggling a little bit out of the gate with these ticket sales.
This was a major show announced on a major network with what everybody thought was this huge star, CM Punk. I said he was going to be the biggest financial flop in wrestling history, and I think I'm being proven right every minute of the day.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.